In the name of Jesus, amen. The sermon for the second Sunday in Lent is according to Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 32. You know, given all that we've had to endure in these last many months, the lessons we hear appointed for today's meditation probably strike a nerve, for better or for worse. We get that these texts are all about prayer and taking our cares and our worries and our petitions to God. No one will dispute this. However, there is a real danger of taking these texts and turning them into something they're not. Why did God wrestle with Jacob? For many Christians, this text often winds up getting turned into a how-to Christianity lesson. They need to breathe more often. On perseverance, on out-wrestling and outlasting God as if he's some kind of genie in a lamp that you can strong-arm into doing whatever you want. Wrestle with God, stick it out, fight hard and stand your ground, keep on fighting. Work God into submission so that rewards you and blesses you just like he did Jacob. Well, not to burst your bubble or any of your Facebook memes you've been posting and you know who you are. But that's not exactly the meaning here. What about those times when you wrestle and struggle with God and yet you still lose? What about those times when your prayers go seemingly unanswered? I'm reminded of a cartoon I recently saw. Everyone is gathered at the cemetery around a casket. The pastor says to the assembly, "We are gathered here today because your prayers weren't answered." Another Facebook gem. We know that this is true, but it certainly feels like it sometimes, doesn't it? You can't have people in the hospital. You can't have people sick and we pray for them. I mean, I hope you pray for people who are sick, but I hope you pray for thy will and not mine. So why did God wrestle with Jacob? What does this mean? What is God endeavoring to teach us with this account? Well, a little background and a little context helps. For those of you who need a refresher, Jacob was the younger twin brother of Esau, and there was a lot of bad blood between the two, which was primarily Jacob's fault. Jacob wasn't exactly the good guy. He certainly wasn't a good brother, needless to say, after Jacob tricks his poor old dad into thinking that he was blessing Esau, you'll remember. Jacob takes the blessing and gets out of Dodge. You notice that? Esau was beyond angry, remember? He wants to kill his brother, and Jacob isn't exactly the fighting type also. He's not. He takes his blessing and heads for the hills, and fast forward a few decades. And Jacob is married to not one but two ladies, Rachel and Leah. He has a whole slew of kids with all kinds of servants and wealth and goods. He tells about it in the Bible here. All these years later, and Jacob is now attempting to return home, not because he's homesick, but because he's worn out his welcome with his father-in-law. Uh-oh. Jacob is simply on the lam from an angry father-in-law. Don't feel sorry for the father-in-law. He was a dishonest guy too, if you'll remember. Nobody gets out of this clean today. Just wanted you to know that. Anyway, Jacob and the household finds themselves on the river's edge that separated his homeland, the promised land, from the foreign land he had been calling home for these decades. He wants to cross over into the good land, the land that he's been promised to by his grandpa Abraham and his father Isaac, and to him by virtue of the blessing he got in a very creative manner. It's called stealing. But he was afraid. He was sure Esau still held a grudge. And if you'll remember, Esau was kind of buff. He was a good hunter. He was a formidable opponent. And so he was sure Esau would kill him and his family on sight and plunder his goods because that's what he would do. So Jacob devises a plan. Rather than trusting God's word and promise, which is what we need to go back to always, Jacob takes matters into his own hands. He'll split the party up into two, half and half. The idea was that Esau may get one, but he won't get them both. It's after Jacob gets done sending both parties across the river under the cover of darkness that he lays down to get some rest. Okay, we're going to be fine. I was clever enough. I even think we got past God's censor net. Notice, he's not with either group. What a guy, right? All alone, Jacob lies down waiting to see who gets wiped out so he can boldly lead the other. So he decides to get a little shut-eye, and this is when God actually physically comes to him and wrestles with him all night long. And you know how the rest of the story goes. After hours and hours of this brutal wrestling match, Jacob finally gets God in a leg lock and demands that he tells him his name and give him a blessing. He still doesn't know he's wrestling with God, but you got these pictures of the 1980s WWE. You know, I always pictured it. Maybe there's a lot less spandex, but it's basically that. And how does God respond? He blesses Jacob because you have striven, you have struggled, you have wrestled with God and man and have prevailed. Okay, so the moral of the story is to fight and wrestle with God until you get your way. Thank you. Have a nice day. No. No. In the recorder, no. That's not what this is teaching us. I know that's what we want to hear, isn't it? But that's not the point of the story. Remember, Jacob was struggling and wrestling with what? Doubt. His whole plan is based on doubt, that God will not fulfill his word, that God will not fulfill his promise because he got that blessing in an evil way. And now the blessing was in fact given to him though, wasn't it? So the promises that were made are for him, right? He doesn't even believe it. So he gets a really good plan because he's so good at making plans. He believed God and his blessings and promise. At least he believed that he believed God and his promises. And yet his prayers and actions revealed the fact that he just didn't trust God because he was untrustworthy. He was afraid. He doubted. So God takes on human form and wrestles with Jacob and lets him win. All so that God can teach Jacob a profound lesson on trust. The lesson God was teaching Jacob and is still teaching every single one of us today. God never forgets his promises. God never forgets what he said to you. God doesn't go back on his word. God doesn't forget his blessings. God had already promised that he would bless Jacob, and Esau wasn't going to be able to undo that. And of course, people who don't really know the central theme of Christianity, which is indeed the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, cannot read this passage without having some stress. Well, that hardly seems fair. How many times have I ever heard that? Well, that doesn't seem fair. Esau was the guy. He was the one. And then Jacob comes in and gets it. How fair is that? I'm like, keep reading. It gets worse. Because at the end of the Bible, it'll be us getting unfairly good things. It wasn't a material blessing like God giving him the winning lottery numbers. Or like a nice hunk of property that made him 10 years younger and far more handsome. It wasn't anything like that. In fact, you could go further and state that Jacob's blessing had already been given to him before, when God himself first promised to make his name and his family a great line. Remember, it was Abraham got that promise, as if it wasn't for others. Again, when life got tough and Jacob took his eyes and ears off of God, Jacob doubted this blessing and promise. Remember, he's relying completely on his own strength and reason. His own strength and reason. He's like, I've gotten this far by hook and by crook. And God is going, All he thought, all he saw was about Esau, and the trouble that was in front of him was awaiting him. God doesn't bless Jacob with stuff. He blesses Jacob with what? A new name. Which means one who wrestled with, who struggled with God. Literally, Israel in Hebrew is the man who beheld God. He also blesses Jacob with a bum hip. Many of us can feel such blessings, which he most likely had the rest of his life, and we're never told that he was healed. How is any of that a blessing? And that question right there reveals our lack of understanding of what it means to be blessed by God. Jacob had a new name. A new name. This is very important. Every time he heard that new name, every time he had to limp somewhere, he remembers, I went face to face with God and I walked away with a blessing. I have seen God face to face and my life was delivered. More than that, he remembered God's promises and blessing. God was merciful and gracious to him. By means of this struggle, God was able to remind Jacob of his blessings that he had already promised him. Jacob, Israel, was a changed man, a new man, a man who truly walked, or limped as the case may be, in faith. Christ Lutheran, I'm not going to take the typical tact and ask you what things you struggle with and wrestle with. My worry is that you would tell me during church and we'd be here till 5-6 o'clock. But my bigger worry is that you would think you have nothing. I'm not going to tell you to go wrestle with God, persevere, and you shall overcome. That may be true, then again, it may not be true. Remember the comic about the funeral? Believe it or not, but there are some things you simply can't control. For some of us, we're like, I know. For others, they're going, that's because you're not doing it right. There are some things you simply can't overcome. There are some things you can't beat, no matter how hard you try. One of the hardest lessons I've ever had to learn as a pastor. This past year is full of prime examples of things we just can't control. Things that we just can't beat. Things that we can't either pretend they're not there or pretend that there's the worst thing in the world. Because we know as Christians, unbelief is the worst thing in the world. And sometimes we learn that our prayers are answered with the word no. Besides, if anything these lessons show us is that to be like Jacob isn't exactly something we should strive for. Now the lowly woman who did trust in the mercy and the promises of God persisted. Remember her from the Gospels? Even when it seemed like Jesus was against her, remember her? Absolutely. She was a great model of faith. Jacob, on the other hand, not so much. Remember, she came to the Lord fully okay with being called a dog. That's bad. That is a bad word to be called that. You are beneath us. And she's going, I know, and I'm okay with that, because I know that even dogs get scraps, and I need scraps. I hope and pray that it doesn't take a whooping to get you to wake up and remember God's promises and hold fast in faith. Jacob didn't trust in God's blessed promise, but the man who bore the new name Israel did. And that's where we want to focus today. And that's how we move forward today. You bear a new name, a name given to you into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a new name. It's a new you. God himself put that name upon your forehead and upon your heart. In holy baptism, hold fast to him. Hold fast to the blessing that he has already blessed you with in Christ, no matter how things get. No matter if they're bad or if you think they're so great you don't even need Jesus this week. You are a child and an heir of Almighty God, and nothing and no one can ever take that from you. Not COVID, not murder hornets, not Texas blizzards, or crooked governments, or wicked men. Not even the gates of hell can prevail against our Lord's promise to you. And I say this all with good reason, because I happen to live in that same fallen and broken world that you live in most of the time. There are going to be times that it seems like everyone is against you. There are going to be times when you will doubt, when you will despair. There are going to be times that you will not let God work because you think you have a better plan, be it his way or on his time schedule, firmly convinced that you have a better plan than the one God has for you, firmly convinced that he actually might need your help. And if you don't believe you do it, ask me and I'll give you each an example. There are going to be times that it seems like even God himself is against you. But he's not. The Father turned against Christ so that he would never have to turn against you. Remember the central focus theme of Christianity, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for you. He hasn't forgotten his promises he made to you in holy baptism. It is finished once and for all. Baptized into his victorious death and resurrection. Take and eat. Take and drink. This is my body. This is my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. These are his promises, his way for you. This is God's unfailing and eternal promise to you. This is your blessing. May you never lose sight of it or let go of this great gift. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.